Now again, it's a joy to be with the saints in Kinross and to be with our brother David. We're going to read four scriptures tonight. First of all, from the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 13. The Epistle to the Romans in chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Second reading in the Epistle to the Philippians, in chapter 4. Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Third reading in 1 Peter in chapter 4. 1 Peter in chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity amongst yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sin. The final reading in the Epistle to James in chapter 5. Epistle to James chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 8. Be ye also patient. It's interesting, in this chapter you read about the patience of a husbandman, you read about the patience of the prophets, and you read about the patience of Job. Look at verse 8. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, or as the Revised puts it, the coming of the Lord is at hand. I'm sure the Lord will bless tonight what we have heard, and also this reading from his good word. Now, I think it will be evident to all this evening what's mainly tonight before my heart and before my mind. We've read four statements tonight that we're going to consider, and I trust in the fear of God. We've read about the day is at hand. And we're going to look at that day in Romans chapter 14. The day is at hand. When we come to Philippians chapter 4, we have read tonight that the Lord is at hand. Now, if you think that's the coming of the Lord, we won't put you out of fellowship. But I believe it's the Lord that is near. The Lord is standing by. The Lord's at your elbow. And then we're going to come to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to notice the end of all things is at hand. We've heard about the past tonight. We've heard about the future tonight. We've heard about the present. And if we get to chapter 4, we'll talk about the past, and we'll speak about the future, and we'll consider the present. And then when we come to James chapter 5, the coming of the Lord is at hand. So that's the four things very simply tonight we're going to consider as the Spirit of God gives help. Would I be right in saying this tonight? It's one thing to have a hold of the truth. It's another thing for the truth to get hold of us. I don't know who said it, but someone said this. There are far too many saints in stained glass windows and not enough saints in shoe leather. And what God wants tonight is this. He wants Christianity, and he wants Christianity in shoe leather. If you read Romans chapter 13, notice the contrast. You're either sleeping or you're awake. You read about night and you read about day. You read about the Lord Jesus and you read about the flesh. Let's come to our verse. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. What marks the night? Deadness marks the night. Darkness marks the night. Drunkenness marks the night. Debauchery marks the night. What marks the day? Oh, light marks the day. Soberness marks the day. Righteousness marks the day. And I come to Romans chapter 13 and I read those words. The night is far spent. And the day is at hand. You know, there's many days in the Bible. What day is this? Well, this is the day of salvation. Listen tonight to one verse from the Bible. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. Ah, but this is the Spirit's day. I could think of the Spirit tonight in relation to Christ. He shall glorify me. I could think of the Spirit tonight in relation to you and I. He guides us into all the truth. I could think of the Spirit tonight in relation to the world. He's here to convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. And let me say this. Anything you and I do for God, if it's going to be acceptable to God, remember, it must be done in the presence and the power of the Spirit. This is the Spirit's day. And if I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. I read about the day of Christ. I read about the day of the Lord. And I read about the day of God. Now what we're going to consider tonight is the day of Christ. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, and it's the day of Christ. What kind of a day is that going to be? It's going to be a day of review. Listen tonight to what the Bible says. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What does that word appear mean? We're all going to be made manifest. Not what I think of myself. It's not what others think of me. We're going to appear in our true character. Without camouflage. The all-seeing eye of God upon us. And remember, we're going to stand or we'll fall. We're going to receive a reward or we'll suffer loss. The Bible says we'll either receive good or bad. It's going to be a day of review. But you know, it's going to be a day of rejoicing. Listen tonight to the words of the apostle. That I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. What do we sometimes sing? What a day that will be, when my Saviour I shall see. Sing again of saving grace, tell the story, saved by grace. What a day, glorious day, that will be. It's going to be a day of rejoicing. You know, it's going to be a day of reunion. Dead ones are going to be raised. Living ones are going to be changed. And together, we're going to be caught up in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to be a day of reunion. We always sung it in Labrador. I don't think I've heard it sung in the other place. And I think it's in the hymn book. Blessed hope. We shall meet with our loved ones again. It's going to be a day of reunion. But you know, it's going to be a day of reward. Ever notice in 2 Timothy, Paul was certain about two things? What was the two things? Paul was certain about his conversion. Listen to what he says. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul was certain about his conversion. You know, Paul was certain about his crown. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And I tell you tonight, dear child of God, remember, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's the nearness of the day. Let's come to my second thought very quickly. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Easy to quote that from a platform. Easy to quote that verse when the sun is shining brightly. But what about when the wind of affliction is blowing? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. We had a preacher in Canada, he's in home with the Lord now. He's gone. He was a man that made statements. Very often those statements stuck. And I'm going to tell you tonight a statement I once heard him say. He said this: there's far too many Christians. They're enduring their Christianity instead of enjoying their Christianity. Let me put it to you tonight, younger Christian, older Christian, tonight in this meeting. Are you and I enduring our Christianity? Or are you and I enjoying our Christianity? And if that had been in one place, everyone would have said amen. And there's not an amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You ever notice there's happiness linked with salvation? Listen to two verses from the Bible. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved of the Lord. There's happiness linked with salvation. You remember Psalm 32 verse 1, is it? Blessed, happy is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. There's happiness tonight linked with salvation. You know, there's happiness linked tonight with service. You remember what you read about Solomon's men, Solomon's servants? Happy are these thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. There's happiness linked with service. What does the Bible say? We've to serve the Lord with joy and gladness. We've to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. We've to serve the Lord with reverence and with godly fear. There's happiness linked with service. There's happiness linked with suffering. Where do you read that? You remember what Peter said? If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. And I've got one more. There's happiness linked with separation. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now let's come to my verse. I'm like Brother David, I like translations. Listen tonight to how the verse could be read. Let your moderation, let your forbearance, let your forgiving spirit, let your gentleness be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What about gentleness tonight? What about the meekness and the lowliness of Jesus? What about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ? I was at a King Ross conference 40 years ago at least. Speaker that day was Robert Scott from Whitburn. Said a thing that day, I never forgot he said this. Every gentleman is not a Christian. But every Christian should be a gentleman. Listen to my verse. Let your forbearing spirit, forgiving spirit, be made known unto all men. The Lord is standing by. Let's come to my third thought very quickly. The end of all things is at hand. I'm going to say three things tonight. There are people who live in the past. Know what they speak about? They talk about the good old days. And remember, they were good old days. Days when the presence and the power of the Spirit of God was known. But I'm going to say this tonight. If you're just living in the past, you mark my word, you'll be a fault finder. You remember the fault finders in the Bible? Do you remember who they found fault with? I remember being at a conference one day. One brother complained there were seeds in the grapes. They should have been seedless. There were seeds in the grapes. Fault finders. You remember Martha found fault with the Lord Jesus? Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You remember the disciples? Carest thou not that we perish? Lord, ye don't care. You remember Simon? If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman is that toucheth him. He is a sinner. Was it Willie Harrison? Will I quote him? Listen to what Willie Harrison said 50 years ago. It is given to few men to be true critics. The majority are only fault finders, and it's so easy to find fault. People that live in the past. But you know, there are people who live in the present. Oh yes, your mind's away to Luke chapter 12, the rich young farmer. Thought about his body, never thought about his soul. Thought about time, never thought about eternity. Thought about his body, never thought about his soul. The man that lives for the present, the Bible says, that man's a fool. What marks the man that lives for the future? I was at a funeral today. Back building, people standing. And you all know the man, Jack Trail. You know what we're told about that man today? We were told that he was a faithful man. A faithful man that feared God. We were told that he was a worker. We were told that he was wily. And we were told that he was a worshipper. Young Christian, there's only one life. And it will soon be passed. And remember, it's only what's done for Christ that is going to last. If I live in the past, I'll be a fault finder. If I live for the present, I'll be a fool. If I live for the future, I will be faithful. Notice three things in the verse. The end of all things is at hand. It's going to affect me self-worth. It's going to affect me God-worth. And it's going to affect me saint-worth. If I live in the light of the future, I'll be sober. I'll watch unto prayer. And I'll have fervent love for my brethren. The end of all things is at hand. But before I sit down, the coming of the Lord is at hand. If you ever go to Newfoundland, and it's a good place to visit, and especially Labrador, if you go to Newfoundland and you go to an assembly in Gander Bay, they have a big notice board outside the hall. On that notice board, there's a big clock, and it's at 2:02. And underneath that big clock, in large black bold letters, you read something like this. It's later than you think. Many lines of truth need to be revived amongst us. 60 years ago in Scotland, I was only 13, so I'm 73. 60 years ago in Scotland, you heard far more about the Lord's coming then than you do now. Why? We've lost sight of the man that has gone up. And when Israel lost sight of the man that went up, idolatry was introduced in Israel. I leave it with you. In the light of the Lord's coming, what should mark me? I'll give you three things. There should be patience. I heard a man say once, three things test a man's patience. A woman, a child, and a flat tire. Three things test a man's patience. If you and I are living in the light of the Lord's coming, you and I will be patient. The late George Monroe Sr. once said this. You know, there's a difference between patience and long-suffering. And he put it like this. Patience is what marks me towards trying experiences. Long suffering is that which marks me towards trying persons. He's long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all might come to repentance. I'll be patient, James chapter 5. You know, I'll be pure. 1 John chapter 3. He that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Ah, but I'll be pleasing. For in the light of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll walk as to please God. So I leave it with you. The day is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. And remember, the coming of the Lord